Hey gearheads, and welcome to Garage Talk, a discussion about all things automotive. I'm Corey.
And I'm Matt. And each week this podcast will serve as a catalyst for discussion on all sorts of topics that grind our gears, rev our engines, or just need a bit more conversation.
You know, you talk about grinding gears and revving engines. That has not been the history of GT Garage Talk for this past week.
Not
for lack of vehicles. There has been a press loaner vehicle in our possession for the past week that I'm going to go ahead and say it. Sadly, leaves us tomorrow.
Yeah.
That had no gears to grind nor engines to rev.
In more ways than one, to be honest.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
Well, I mean that in a good way.
Oh, okay. Like, okay.
It doesn't grind my gears necessarily.
That's a little bit different than when last we spoke.
It is.
Okay.
And I twice today I found myself forgetting what it was because of how good it is.
Yeah, buddy. And so, I don't even know I'm so excited about it. So, all shenanigans aside,
right?
Can we tell them what we've...
Not yet.
If they haven't been following us.
No, not yet. Okay, we can't say it yet. Okay. We'll talk about how wonderful and amazing it is, and we'll wait till the last 30 seconds of the show to tell them what it actually was. No, so, I'm just kidding. We can tell them if you feel like we must.
Well, I don't... Have you gotten all your...
accolades out of the way?
Yes.
No.
Your superlatives out of the way?
Genuinely, like we took it to dinner tonight. My family and I drove it into Tyler, parked, got out, went inside, we ate dinner, came back out. Now I did remote start it from the table,
right?
Looking out the window at it because why not?
It's fun.
It was fun, and it was a cool party trick to show the boys.
Yep.
And and then on the way over here again, I was on the phone with Dad. And I forgot what I was driving. And I say that, you know, some people might think, well, that's awful. You know, you're supposed to be in something that's exciting and fun and enjoyable and whatnot. And it is. The part of it that makes it so amazing to me, the fact that I forgot what it was, is the fact that it's an EV.
Uh-oh. Spilled a little beans here.
I did. It genuinely is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because my argument to date, and I will argue that it stands even with this one.
Okay.
Auto manufacturers should not make EVs.
Right.
They should make vehicles that are electric.
Which I believe we really, really, really have coming on the horizon in the F-150 Lightning.
Well, this rig...
Yes.
Is a huge step in the right direction.
Yes.
The big, massive television screen in the middle of it is way overdone.
Right.
But
that's actually any vehicle, no matter EV or what. I mean, last week we talked 2022 Silverado, and it's got the 13-inch wide screen
in
the center, and Ram's got a huge screen, F-150's got a huge...
Everybody's got the big screens. I know. Yeah. And... this one happens to be a little intrusive.
Yeah.
A little over the top, in my opinion. But the HVAC controls are through it, the radio controls, the Apple CarPlay, which, by the way, I really like.
I don't believe I will be acquiring another vehicle for my family that does not have Apple CarPlay. CarPlay at that.
You should be proud of me.
Okay.
I prefer wireless Apple CarPlay now compared to wired.
Except for when you and I switch rigs.
or we're driving both of them anywhere near each other.
Yeah.
Because then it just
we're trying to connect to each other's vehicles.
Yeah, it does weird things.
Yeah.
You want to spill the beans?
You want? Can I do it?
Well, I want you to tell people what you told me yesterday while we were shooting the review.
Okay.
About it, and then we can tell them what it is.
So, it kind of just word vomit out of my mouth, and I stand by it.
Just stand by it. Accept it.
Because I genuinely, after over 1,200 miles in this vehicle, I think I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
Yep. And no shame in my game. So there is that.
And yeah. I have found myself doing the same thing. And again, there's one huge crutch that is this vehicle. Outside of it, I would buy it.
Okay. So are we finally going to tell them exactly what it is we're talking about?
Maybe.
Maybe. Just going to keep it a secret forever and ever and ever. I mean, it's
2021.
Yes. I mean, it is going to be the thumbnail of this image, so they probably already know. You know, we're building it up like it's this big thing. But,
yeah, no, it's really not.
So, yes, it was a 2021
Ford
Mustang
Mach-E
premium extended range. Always. It truly was a fun vehicle the more time I spent with it. And I don't know. Like I said, I fell in love with it. What am I supposed to say on that?
I know. It amazed me. Genuinely amazed me. It continues to genuinely amaze me. Just like, again, forgetting what it is. That's the whole point to me of making an electric vehicle, is that anybody can get in it and drive it.
Well, I will say, I'm glad that you've come around on it, because when our review comes out on YouTube, you better believe that the cold open of this video is going to be you giggling as you spin it around in a quick U-turn and get the tail a little loose.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, yeah, I was going to spoil the fun for you if you didn't fess up yourself. So,
oh, no. No, it was a lot of fun. I probably did that a few too many more times today.
Okay. Anyway. So a little bit of backstory. If you have not been following along with us on Facebook, especially. So last Tuesday, as you're listening to this, so over a week and a half ago, Ford delivered a Mach-E to my house for a week's worth of testing.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife happened to be in Amarillo for work at the time.
Right.
She flew out there, so she had no vehicle. And I said, hey, babe, when we got the news that we were getting this, I was like, hey, babe, why don't you fly out there and then I'll drive out and meet you and we'll come home together. It'll be great for the channel, a lot of content, and we'll truly be able to test the EV infrastructure and all that stuff. And she was game for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was surprised.
And you had no idea the number of hours of content you would get.
So I should have realized immediately the trip I was in for when I was in constant conversation with Ford in preparation to receive said vehicle, that we were having difficulty. So standard protocol is to deliver gas vehicles with a full tank of gas or EVs with 80% of charge, which if you find a DC fast charger, you just plug it up, wait 30 minutes or less, and you're there. We don't have any public DC fast chargers anywhere in the city or within about 100 miles of us.
Zero.
Yeah. And we have a few faster than 110 plug public chargers around town that really aren't going to do much good. So basically, after a lot of investigation, both driving around town myself and me and the Ford rep on the phone and using PlugShare and every other EV app out there, we came to the conclusion that they would just drive over here, deliver it with whatever percentage they had, and I would make do. And given that I had already committed to this giant road trip with my wife, I knew that that was going to leave me in a world hurt, because I wanted to leave that day to go to Amarillo. So I had Wednesday to recoup. And then Thursday, she and I had plans. Friday, we were driving home. So needless to say, we've got connections to a semi-DC fast charge.
Yeah.
And I spent about 45 minutes to an hour plugged in, got up to like 75%, something like that, a decent amount. And I hit the road for Amarillo around 3:30 p.m. Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
520 some odd miles later.
Right.
And 14 hours.
Right, yeah.
I made it to Amarillo, Texas at 5 some odd something in the morning. So, yeah. Yes, yeah. I truly made it to Amarillo by morning if you are a George Strait fan. And
this is true.
Learned so much along the way. I'll keep it brief. So I was using Ford's built-in navigation, which routes you to where you need to charge, tells you how long and what percentage to charge to before setting off again. And more often than not, it doesn't say top off at 80% and then go. It says charge from 15% to 67%. It's going to take you however many minutes, and then you go. Well, I get to the first stop. I'm right around where the Ford app thought I would be. And because of filming and want to take pictures and do everything, plus I stopped to eat, plus Holly and I wanted a few groceries for when we got to the hotel. All that to say, I got up to 86%, I believe it was, when all was said and done and I was ready to go. So instead of being at 67 or whatever it actually wanted me to be at, it's all, okay, you've got more range, so I'm going to reroute you. And it was, instead of going to take me through Lawton and Eric, Oklahoma, before getting to Amarillo, mm-hmm. it was now going to take me almost a straight shot into Amarillo with a offshoot into Frederick, Oklahoma, to stop at the courthouse to charge there to backtrack back into Texas and right. then continue on my way,
yeah.
which I thought was stupid. So I rerouted myself from the reroute, went to Wichita Falls, found a destination charger at a hotel, which again is just meant to charge up overnight for hotel guests. And in 30 minutes, I added 5 miles of range. I said, well, that ain't going to work. Made it to Lawton, Oklahoma, when I decided I was just going to stick to the original final two charging stops. With 3% battery and 8 miles to go, had to sweet talk a toll booth operator to letting me skip the toll.
Right.
Because I said, I have about 20 miles worth of range and I need to get to Lawton. Otherwise, I'm plugging into your booth all night.
Right.
And she's like, well, you better go straight to Lawton. I said, I don't have much choice. So
you're yeah. right.
Yeah. I'm going straight to Lawton. And the funny thing is, on the giant television screen that you call in the middle of the Mach-E, if you're using the Ford app, it has a funky shaped blue outline of exactly how far you can go on your current state of charge in any direction.
Yeah.
And I was watching that bubble shrink ever so small to the point where it was pretty much just a circle around the blue dot that was me. And I'm just like, okay, I'm in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma. It's past midnight, like, what on earth am I going to do? I assured everyone that was worried about me on this trip that I was never going to get into this range anxiety situation. And uh-huh. here I am turning off everything in the vehicle, turning the brightness down on everything. I was like, oh, I guess goodness. This is how you hypermile an EV. You just turn. I quit charging my phone. I quit everything. I was legit worried just for a little bit of time there.
That's fantastic.
And yeah, made it, plugged up, charged to 80% because I was like, I need a little extra after
right,
that
right, yeah.
to make it to the Love's travel stop in Eric before making it all the way to Amarillo.
So for reference sake, for those who are not familiar with Texas in general mm-hmm. And with East Texas, North Texas, Panhandle, Oklahoma. Yeah, Oklahoma, all that. You mentioned it took 560 miles one way.
Somewhere, yeah.
Fairly close to that.
Yeah.
And 14 hours.
Yes.
So according to Google.
The all-knowing Google.
Right. It's 468 miles.
Okay.
So you added 100.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Because again, I was going out of my way to Lawton and Eric, and plus
right
I completely went out of the way by going to Wichita Falls. That was my fatal flaw, was I was already en route out of Fort Worth before I realized the Ford app had rerouted me.
Gotcha.
And I was following the navigation. I said, well, this this does not feel right. I should be going north to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I started looking around and figured out exactly what had happened.
So 14 hours is what it took you.
Right.
According to the Google.
Right.
7 hours, 12 minutes.
Is what it should take you in a gas
power. It should have taken you.
Yeah.
You doubled
that
time.
So all that to say, I was coming home with my wife who, this is not her job. She had been working all week. She wanted to be home with our son and in our bed and relaxing and resting.
Right.
And she is not a techie. So like this was of mild interest to her, but not, she was not geeking out like I was.
Sure.
So after this journey, and she realized what time I got there because I woke her up coming in naturally. I assured her I had learned so much on the way up there that it would not be a 14-hour trip home.
Right. And it wasn't.
It was not. It was 10 hours above the, well, it was 12 hours above the 10. So in an EV, like the Ford app was saying it was going to be 10 hours just because of the odd
charging
route.
And range. Yeah. And
It ended up being 12 because, just under 12. We left at 9:30 in the morning, got here just around 9 p.m. So it was around 12 hours. We did stop for lunch about twice as long as it was scheduled on the app.
Right.
And then we hit both Denton traffic and 635 Dallas traffic. So that added to as well. So there is your extra 2 hours.
Sure.
Two traffic jams and an extra bit of charging in Lawton, Oklahoma on the way back. That being said, Dallas traffic in an EV, while traffic is never an enjoyable experience,
right?
It was more enjoyable in that vehicle than in a gasoline-powered car because we had one-pedal driving, which if you let off the gas, it applies to the regen, which slows you down, as the brakes without using the actual physical brakes.
And it takes you all the way to zero.
Right. And then the brakes kick in and slam you.
Nice little.
Thoroughly enjoyed the one-pedal driving through stop-and-go traffic because it worked as designed. Some other things I liked about it. For the most part, I liked the lane keep, except for when I was fighting the Amarillo wind and the car. Because the car was trying to compensate for the wind, and I was trying to compensate for both of them. So there was that, which... Ford's Blue Cruise self-driving autonomous cruise is supposed to be out by now, but it is not. This one had all the hardware necessary for it to work, but it was not operational. There were several times on a clearly marked road that the lane keep said just canceled, not working, which has me wondering how well Blue Cruise will work and how often it'll chime out. But that was an interesting little experiment unto itself. But so this was the extended range on 100% charge. The highest number I ever saw was 277 miles of range.
Okay.
It is one of the, if not the longest ranged versions you can spec from Ford.
There is one, so it's spec'd at 270. I just saw it. Mm. The rear wheel drive only is spec'd at 300.
Okay.
So...
So my hot take from all of this, from my 1,200 miles in the rig, and I'm spoiling it for the YouTube review of my drive, but this vehicle was about 100 miles of usable range shy of what would make it an acceptable only car or primary car.
Sure.
Because...
Well, not... That's a fascinating terminology. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
It's a fascinating terminology. You know, usable range versus like my 1980 Honda XR80 dirt bike had a reserve tank.
Okay.
My 1971 Volkswagen Super Beetle had a reserve tank, right? So basically you run it until it runs out of fuel and then you flop it to reserve and you've got an extra half gallon to a gallon to get you to the gas station.
So I have not dove I have not jumped deep into EV lore and practice, so I'm sure I will get corrections on this, but I do believe past what is displayed on the screen, there is a bit of a reserve that is highly recommended not to be used.
Sure.
That will help you get to somewhere. But I did not want to find that out. And when I say usable range, I mean from 80% and below. Because when you are DC fast charging, which you have to do if you are road tripping it, you stop at 80. Because of the way DC fast chargers do and the way the batteries obtain charge, it is the safest way for the longevity of the battery, long story short. After that, it slows to a trickle. And at 80% charge, you have just shy of 200 miles of range at 80%.
Yeah.
And that's too few.
Right.
You need 300 at 80%, or as it would translate, somewhere around 370, 380 at 100%. So why not round up and say 400 is the advertisable number that at least Texas shoppers should be looking for if you were to buy an EV at this point in time, in my opinion.
Sure.
Because if I were to, quote unquote, fly to Houston and back, there would be a stop in between. There would have to be. If you had 400 miles of range, you could make it all the way there, charge, and come back.
Right.
So that's kind of my barometer, because I know I can make it to Houston on a tank of gas and without a stop, and be just fine.
Right.
Much past there, which for those of you unfamiliar with the Texas terrain and all that, it's about a 4-hour trip. For anything past Houston, I'm looking for a rest stop myself. Like,
sure.
That's about as far as I personally can make it. And my wife brought up a good point that, you know, this is a crossover. It's meant for families. It's the Mustang that appeals to families.
Sure.
And if you're going to have a kid, you're just amplifying your travel time, because if you have to stop, yeah, the Ford app may say it's going to be a 36-minute charge stop.
Right.
But unless you're rounding them up at 26 minutes saying, all right, it's time to go, and in the car ready just to unplug it and go, it's not going to be 36 minutes, and you are going to find yourself
sure
there charged, plugged in a whole lot longer than necessary. Yeah. So that was another thing that kind of added to our stop or our travel time as well, is even though the app says, yeah, you're going to charge for 36 minutes, you're going to be there longer.
Yeah.
And the more people you have with you, I'm not saying this was the case for my wife, because it wasn't, she waited in the car. But if you had a kid with you who's going to want to get out and stretch their legs, that's just another person that you're going to need to make sure is back in the vehicle, ready to go.
Rounding everybody up, when you hit them buckled up.
Right percentage to hit the road.
Getting the tablet turned back on, or the movie, or whatever. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. So you got back late Friday evening.
Yep.
It's about 9:30, 10 o'clock Friday evening, with about 22% battery left.
I'm sorry.
I think this is important to recognize and discuss too, because, I took it. I brought the Tacoma over,
right,
the other rig that we have from Toyota at the moment.
Yep.
And I brought it back over. We swapped out. I took the Mach-E, and basically just took it home. Messed around with it a little bit on the way home. Didn't really delve into it. It was 10 o'clock at night. I was ready to go to bed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I get home. And I go to plug it in, and number one, the cord is too short.
Yes.
So I had to...
Because you typically park in the driveway.
Correct? I typically park in the driveway. My garage is full of jet ski and junk. So I had to park it in the driveway, which normally is not an issue. The charge port is on the driver's side front fender,
mm-hmm,
actually behind the front wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So the cord that they supply you with comes with either a 220 four-prong plug or a 110, like a normal socket outlet plug. Well, I went looking for the 220 one. my dryer is on the outside wall of our house. So I thought, well, cool. I'll unplug the dryer, mm-hmm. plug in the 210 or 220, and just run the cord right out the dryer vent. It'll mm-hmm. be right outside. Even if I got to move some stuff around outside, I can plug it in. Good to go.
Yeah, it's short term.
It's the wrong plug. So,
story of the next couple of days for both of us.
Basically, yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, it's 10 o'clock. I'm not going to mess with it tonight. I'll just plug it in. So I plug it in. On the inside wall of my garage, and the cord doesn't reach to the garage door, let alone out into right. the front of the car. So then I have to unplug my garage door and move the plug around for it because of the design of the plug, plug in the 110 plug in the ceiling of my garage while I'm standing on the jet ski trying to reach and finagle and everything else. And then I'm balancing the little power pack inverter thing that's on this cord right. on top of the garage door opener out of the way of the chain so it doesn't ruin it, and drape the cord down across the jet ski and out the door, only to find out that I wasn't close enough to the garage door even still. So using the fancy cameras on the front of it, I pull the car further up to the garage door.
You didn't tell me all this.
Close enough that I couldn't walk between the garage door and the car. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't walk between the car and my wife's car parked next to it. Mm-hmm. Finally get it all dialed in, plugged in, locked in, ready to go. I go in the house. I shut the garage door. I'm done with it for the night. I thought, cool, 22, 23, 24%, something like that when I went to bed. 10 o'clock. I get up the next morning. It's about 7:30, 8 o'clock. I go outside. I'm like, cool. Let's see how this did. Let's you know, I've had it plugged in for about 10 hours. Mm-hmm. Should be in pretty good shape. No.
No.
34%. I gained essentially 1% per hour while it was plugged into my house.
Hey, gearheads. We are coming to you again for our second annual car show. GT Garage Talk's Unlikely Heroes Car Show, presented by Car Wash by Kane at Hilltop Church of the Nazarene here in Tyler, Texas. Saturday, October 23rd, 2021, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., this car show will be unlike any other because we are celebrating the vehicles that do all of the dirty work of commuting us around day to day but get none of the recognition. That's right. We want to see your daily drivers, your beaters, your car's missing body panels and parts, and the cars with warning lights lit up like Christmas on the dashboard. We will be giving out many different awards in different categories like biggest puddle left behind, most missing body panels, or even our $100 cash prize going to the winner of Car Wash by Kane's People's Choice Award winner. This year we'll also have a special addition to the car show. A touch-a-truck event for kids. This will be your kids' opportunity to get up close and personal with some big vehicles they may not get to see any other way. Fire trucks, patrol cars, and more. Entry to both events is free, but you must register your car if you want to be featured in our show and to be eligible for prizes. Registration is only $15, with a portion going to support a local charity. More information can be found at gtgaragetalk.com/carshow. We cannot wait to see you and your unlikely hero out at our car show.
Yes, I know all of you EV folks are going, well, you didn't use the right plug, you blah, 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 blah. Okay, not everybody has that plug at their house.
Right, right.
Which means more money and more investment initially for the sake of the vehicle.
Right.
For infrastructure that already exists for ICE vehicles.
Right.
So, demerit number one. Demerit number two is the fact that it was 1% per hour.
Right.
Even on the 110 plug.
So, it's currently plugged in at my house right now, and it has been on that charger for 54 minutes and has added 2 miles of range.
Yeah.
Which is about par for all my research that I did ahead of time that said, 110 plug, you're going to charge it about 3 miles of range per hour. If you plug into a 220 at home using the Ford supplied charger,
right,
it's going to charge at about 23 miles per hour.
Okay.
Which is a massive bump. So that being said, I had a similar problem. I was like, well, my dryer is literally in front of my parking spot in my garage.
Yeah.
I will just plug in there and we'll be good to go. I have a four-prong dryer.
Right.
Except the dryer plug, one of those prongs is L-shaped. The Mach-E's plug...
is straight up and down.
Right. So...
it's a different plug.
Different plug.
It doesn't work.
And that didn't work. So, yes, it's plugged in 110 here as well in my garage.
Yep.
And I do believe, given that this is the second time we've done it, it will be charged up enough for them to get it back to Dallas when they finally come and get it tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and, you know, it is what it is. So basically for the first, excluding Friday night and, you know, getting up on Saturday, sleeping Saturday, for the first 6 hours of me having the vehicle...
you were plugged into a wall, not
for at least 3 hours that time.
We do have connections with a semi-fast DC charger here in town, but it is nothing like the... I thoroughly enjoyed the charging experience on Electrify America's network, especially with the Ford, because Electrify America is part of Ford's... Blue charging network or whatever they call it, and the charger will actually speak to the vehicle. So all you have to do is pull up to the charger, plug it in, they talk to one another. The Ford says, this is how you bill me, and it looks at whatever credit card you have on file and just charges you that way. There's no swiping,
no card tap, no nothing, just
you
pull up and go.
Yep. And I like that a lot, and it charges very quickly. ChargePoint, we've got one here in town, or a couple here in town. You have to swipe the little key card that they give you before it'll release, and then you charge that way. The Francis Energy that I stopped at in Lawton, Oklahoma, I'm still ticked because I have some of my money that I will never get back, because you can only, you have to load money to your wallet. I had to download an app for this. You have to load money to your wallet on the app, and then that wallet is what charges your vehicle. And the smallest increment that you can add money, $20.
Bull.
So I added, I believe, $30 on my first stop, because like I said, I showed up with 3% and 8 miles. So I was like, I'm going to need a lot. And it was 32 cents per minute charging. And they do not charge as quickly as Electrify America did. And so I left there. I still had a balance, but I knew I was going to be coming back. Well, my remaining balance wasn't enough for the trip home. So I wanted to put 10. Nope, had to put 20. So I still have a balance there.
Bull.
But like I said, I truly appreciated the Electrify America stops, because it seemed like one charger out of the four at everywhere I went had a max charge rate of 150 kilowatts. All the rest had 350. Now, I believe the Mach-E could only accept somewhere around 98 or something like that. I think that was the largest I saw. So the 150 to 350 didn't matter, but more and more vehicles are coming out that can accept a faster, more energy quicker. And so that's something to know. Electrify America is a somewhat well-built network, because I say somewhat, it seemed like every time I went to any charging station, the first one I went to always had problems, and I always ended up moving to another. So that was another thing. On the trip home, I knew which ones to stop at and which ones not to stop at. So there was that.
Yeah.
All right, charging aside.
Charging aside.
Because we could talk about, a whole video coming out about that. It is a problem. Ultimate synopsis, we aren't there yet, at least in this part of the country. It would be happiest, 200 miles and less, somewhere near a DC fast charger. Or if you're buying it, let's face it, you're going to spend a little bit of extra money to have a 220 plug that is designed for your vehicle, installed in a place close enough that you could plug it in.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're thinking about buying an EV, just know that right now, absolutely, pay an electrician, have a 220 plug installed somewhere where you can charge it overnight. That is in West. I will say our last stop on the way home, I met a couple in a Nissan Leaf, and I asked them, you know, how do y'all like it? And they were trying to figure out the Electrify America charger. And she was like, he likes it. I just like normal vehicles. And he's like, I like it, except we lived in an apartment. So he was only charging on DC fast chargers, which is also not recommended because, again, longevity of the battery.
Sure.
But, all right, nerding over electricity aside.
Yep.
You and I finally did get enough charge in it.
We did.
We had a race.
We did.
We will not spill the beans, but you and I have raced in EV, non-EV before.
You keep coming up with this.
I know. I'm stupid. I really am.
Stupid.
So we had an ID4 for a day, and you and I met downtown Tyler and raced back to my house.
Right.
And you were in the
just
ID4.
Just a simple 5K.
Right. You were in an ID4, and I was on foot. Just a simple 5K. Yeah. And it was hot. It was July 24th. It was hot. It was humid. I hadn't run in a month.
Your fault.
I was totally out of shape.
Your fault.
I even knew that this was coming. It had been written on my whiteboard and on my calendar for weeks. And right. I was the one who arranged it. It was my idea. Good golly. It was a beating. So I ended up making it back to the house first, and you challenged me to a rematch.
I did.
And the rematch happened with the Mach-E.
It did.
So you were in the Mach-E.
Right.
I was on two wheels and a bicycle because, again, we wanted to see a little zero emissions race. And so the one that we have does 0 to 60 in 4.8 seconds. It's quick, a little sucker.
It is very quick.
Family crossover.
Yep.
And
428 foot-pounds, 346 horsepower.
Yes. So,
yeah.
And it's a fun vehicle. We will not spoil the ending of the race. Go check that video out when it drops on YouTube. If you have not subscribed to youtube.com/GT Garage Talk, what's wrong with you? We've got so much fun stuff coming out.
Please subscribe. Yes. I will go to the point of begging. We are so stinking close
to that 1,000 subscriber milestone. So, yes.
Where we'll probably break something on the Subaru while we review it.
Yes. The promise was that we would review Matt's car when we hit that 1,000 subscriber milestone, and he's got his own stupid ideas of what we'll do at 1,000. So I've got stupid ideas to get us there. You've got a stupid idea for once we reach it. So, yeah,
you know,
tomato, tomato,
right.
To each their own. So, yeah, we've raced it. You've spent some time in it. You took it to work.
I did.
You're a mechanic.
Yep.
You've got mechanic buddies.
Yep.
Would you like to regale us with your experience having not only raced me in it, but having it a little bit longer with usable energy in the battery? Because last we spoke, your attitude was not like it is when you showed up here tonight.
And yes, and that was Saturday afternoon after fighting with the thing, trying to get some juice in it so that we could use it, knowing that we had the race the next day that we were going to need plenty of juice for. Mm-hmm. So, we were at two different chargers three times on Saturday trying to get enough juice in this thing so that we would be prepared for Sunday for the race. We did finally get it situated. It spent the night plugged in at your house.
Yeah, it got just out, over 80%.
Yeah, so. Eking out as much possible juice as we could. We did the race on Sunday. It was plenty fun. It was fun. It was good. It was an interesting race.
And then we followed it up with our review video, which kind of summarized everything that we had learned up to that point.
Right.
And again, that is where you and I left.
And that was, I was still kind of sour about the whole battery charge thing at that point.
Which, given your ratio of time in it, I could see.
Today, not that you're listening to this, but today, the day we were recording this, was a Monday. So, Corey, you and I have been blessed to have a couple of other rigs to date from the press lease program. And both were TRD pros. One was the 4Runner and now the Tacoma. Mm-hmm. And I've had both of those trucks at work. And then today I had the Mach-E at work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had 10 times the amount of questions and
onlookers
looks and, you know, hey, can you take me for a ride? Like all kinds of things mm-hmm. today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In the one day that I had it at work, I mean, I spent my lunch break taking people on rides today. Not only because they're interested, but because I was flabbergasted with how it does what it does and how well it does what
right,
it does.
Right, right.
I think I've kind of gotten to the point of summing everything up when it comes to this car.
Okay.
If you take the charging EV element out of this vehicle,
mm-hmm.
it's an incredible, fast, fun, comfortable, well-built, well-put-together, usable, family-friendly CUV.
Yes. The interior, the seats were comfortable. Trust me, 1,200 miles of seat time, the seats were very comfortable.
Very comfortable.
And this statement is about to change because the Ford is being, the Mach-E is being replaced with a Ranger, which is being replaced with a couple other Fords
right.
in our test fleet. I have not been in many newer Fords outside of things I've rented for church and other activities. This was the nicest Ford interior I've been in.
It was spectacular.
Bar none. The build quality, the
fit and finish,
the design. I loved the B&O stereo in it. I had a party because I needed to keep myself awake in pitch black Oklahoma, and the sound system did not let me down. It was a fun vehicle all the way around, shy of the charging network and everything yeah. that comes with it.
Yeah.
And the headache started before I ever left Tyler, Texas, which brings me back to if there were 300 miles of usable range and might as well round up 400 miles of advertised range,
right?
I think is the sweet spot that would truly pique my interest and get me interested. That being said, we do know of a vehicle that is coming out in 2022 or 23, very soon, from Ford,
yeah.
with 500 miles of advertised range. And this vehicle absolutely gets me excited for that, which is the F-150 Lightning.
Yeah.
The F-150 is already America's best-selling vehicle. You electrify it to the point that it has the right amount of usable range.
Yeah.
I am genuinely interested. To the point, this Chevy guy has been on build and price, has been on the reserve page.
What?
I've been building and pricing Mach-E's as well. Because the GT intrigues me with the 3.5 second 0-60 time.
Yep.
The trade-off, though, for the range sacrifices that you have to make for that
right.
just disinterests me after my road trip experience. So all that to say, I do believe the F-150, based on all the knowledge I have gained and have now externally about the F-150, the F-150 is going to be the first truly usable everyday EV on the market that just anyone can go get.
Yep.
To your point, is a vehicle that happens to be an EV versus an EV that happens to be a vehicle, basically.
Well, right.
Because they took the F-150 platform and electrified it.
Yep.
And all the benefits, the acceleration, the instant torque, the one-pedal driving that you and I both love are all there. The front trunk on this thing, which is under the hood where a V8 should sit,
right,
is just additional storage, which on a truck is covered storage.
Right. So, oh, it's watertight. Yeah. I mean,
just the Mach-E got me so excited for a vehicle that your face right now, I should not be this excited for a Ford truck. And that's what the Mach-E did for me, is it truly got me excited for the F-150 because Texas is the largest pickup truck market.
Yeah.
And while the infrastructure range and all that may not quite be there yet for the Mach-E, that will only improve over time. And I believe that the F-150, as everything sits right now, I stand by it, will be the first truly acceptable vehicle to trade out and be your primary vehicle, your only vehicle, if you wanted to make the switch.
Right, right.
Granted, you're not doing a lot of towing and hauling, which...
Well...
The ranges they are quoting have payload calculated in and all that stuff. But
right.
Just know that if you're trying to haul cross-country, tow cross-country in an F-150 Lightning, you'd be better off getting a gas or a diesel.
Sure.
That's just not where it's at. Or the hybrid.
And, yeah. And you know, there are enough campgrounds, at least in the state of Texas, there's enough campgrounds close enough that you could tow your camper to that campground with the Lightning and, you know, plug it in and run it, whatever, over your weekend, and then have enough charge to get you home. So even pulling a camper, I think, or pulling something heavy, if you're not going very far, I think you'll still be all right with it. But yeah, to work this truck
on the daily. I do smell a feature test coming on. I'm just saying.
I'm game. I'm absolutely game. We might even race.
Oh. Well, I already have, because, you know me. I've already got a race in mind.
Right.
For us, when and if we get an F-150, whether it's a short-term one-week rental or otherwise.
Sure.
And I will leave it at that. You know, just some number on over here. Yeah.
You said it at the beginning of the episode. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it now. With a caveat, if it weren't for the charging, this would seriously be a vehicle that I would consider purchasing. Mm-hmm. And that's the Mach-E. I want the GT. I'm looking at it now. You know, 0-60 in 3.5 seconds, 634 foot-pounds of torque, and 480 horsepower. The one that we had has 200 fewer foot-pounds of torque and 100 fewer, actually over 100 fewer horsepower, and it's pulling like a V8 at 110.
It's
not the typical EV. It doesn't give up when you get to 70. It keeps going. I can't imagine having another 200 foot-pounds and another 150 horsepower on top of that.
Yeah.
The biggest issue I have with it, outside of the charging, which we have
exhausted
at length, is the nannies. And you and I had a little bit of a chance to mess around with it some.
Yes.
The GT only comes in all-wheel drive. That's annoying. Because I want something that I can go play with.
You were having a little fun in the all-wheel drive.
I had a little, and I'll give you that.
You wanted to have a little bit more.
I wanted to have a lot more. Yeah. I would have had a lot more had it been a rear-wheel drive.
Only platform.
Only. And I think it would have been even more fun of a car in general if it were simply rear-wheel drive.
Yeah.
That's the other part about it. You take the EV out of the Mach-E, and I genuinely appreciate this. Ford, if you're listening, I genuinely appreciate the fact that if you take the EV out of the Mach-E and put an ICE motor in it, turbo four-cylinder, maybe a turbo V6, it's still an awesome, awesome CUV.
Yeah.
Incredibly capable, incredibly comfortable, incredibly well-built
fit CUV. A 29-inch mountain bike in the back. Granted, you know, folding the rear seats but down, but a 29-inch mountain bike. When was the last time you saw a 29-inch mountain bike in the back of a Mustang?
Yesterday.
Yes. So I think it's funny that you answered that way, because I called it a Mustang and you did not balk. So that's another thing that a lot of people, and I swore up and down we weren't going to address it in any of our videos, and we ended up addressing it because
we did.
People want to know, you know, that
Why did they call it a Mustang? Why couldn't they just call it something else? Why
the short answer is you and I have tested a VW ID4.
Right.
In fact, there was a press event just last week for the American-built ID4s that are dual motor, so all-wheel drive, and there's just not that much buzz about them because it's kind of how they market it. It's just a capable CUV that happens to be electric.
Right.
It's got all those electric oddities to it, but that's how they are marketing.
Sure.
Is it's the electric alternative to a Honda CR-V or a Toyota RAV4. There's no excitement about it.
No.
The GTX is supposed to be the exciting one, but we shall see. And you know, it just is.
Right.
Whereas Ford went and took what was a good CUV and created an immense amount of buzz around it by calling it
a Mustang.
A Mustang.
And slapping that pony on the front of it.
And cashing in on over 50 years of
absolutely
brand recognition. Yes, it's a marketing ploy.
Oh, yeah.
There are some Mustang design elements, the taillights. I think the headlights are kind
of
cool.
Yeah, the front of it is very Mustang-esque. Yes. You look out over the hood, and it's got similar little bulges in the hood and whatnot.
So it's got the Mustang hips, that kind of Coke bottle shape to it. They've got some visual trickery with the sloping rear to make it look more like a fastback than it really is. There's some black cladding along the bottom to make it look taller. Like a CUV than it really is because it has the same ground clearance as a Mustang.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on there. But again, it is a planted vehicle. It weighs as much as a Ford Explorer three-row SUV.
Right.
But it's smaller and all of the weight is down low where the batteries are. So it's planted in the corners too. And it does not have the body roll that a vehicle as tall as that should have.
And it's got narrow tires too.
Right. It's a little easier to, break them loose.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It is. Everything that we asked it to do, it did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everything that we
except
wanted
charge
it.
Fast.
Well, except charge fast. Yeah. If you can take the EV out of it and it be a standalone vehicle,
I just say
with tremendous merit.
If you can add 100 miles of range for it, you wouldn't even need to worry about that. It really is. It's just 100 miles short of perfect.
Wow.
There are some things you could change, but as a fun vehicle that you could take your family in, that you can haul a mountain bike in if you need to, that like it does a lot of things. It's an exciting vehicle. It accelerates so well to the point my three-year-old was saying, ready, set, go. And then he was ready to do it again and again and again. So it was exciting for him. It was exciting for me. It, like I said, the weight is down low enough that it could take corners and be fun. I can't tell you how many highway interchanges, you know, those big sweeping clover leaves, those are fun.
Yeah.
And you could go faster than you ought in that thing for that fact.
Yeah.
So, it's about 100 miles shy of being perfect. I'll go ahead and say it. You know, hot take.
Wow.
Here at GT Garage Talk. So, yeah.
That's going to be the title of the episode.
100 miles short of perfection. Perfect. Yeah. There you go. So we've blabbered on a lot. Matt spilled the beans. We are testing a Toyota Tacoma TRD Pro. I spilled the beans in that we've got a Ranger coming. So you do the math as to what is coming on the future of our YouTube channel as well. We'll ask you one more time, beg with you, plead with you. If you have not yet already, go subscribe to our YouTube channel. That is youtube.com/GT Garage Talk. Help us get up to 1,000 subscribers so we can do some silly things in Matt's Subaru.
Wild and crazy.
You can find everything you want at GTGarageTalk.com. And until next time, bye.